Robinhood Radio presents Flavor Matters with Serge Matakians. He's the owner of Saravan Restaurant in Armenia. If you can't find him in the kitchen or gardens, then follow him either on Facebook or Twitter at Saravan NY.
Hello, everyone, and thanks for joining us. This is Serge from Saravan Restaurant. I'm in the studio very, very pleasantly with Naz Deravian, an Iranian cookbook author who now lives in Los Angeles with her family, and also a blogger. And the name of both her blog and her cookbook is Bottom of the Pot, Persian Recipes and Stories. Thank you for staying, Naz. I know you have a busy day today.
It's my pleasure.
We spoke about the different elements of the Iranian cuisine, and one thing you brought up that I would love to touch on briefly before we go on to the drinks and sweets is the various regions of Iran and various population, ethnic populations of Iran, the Arabs, the Kurds, the Turks, you know, the Jewish population, the Armenian population, how northwestern Iran, northeastern Iran is very different from northwestern Iran, and how different it is in southeast, central. Can you tell me a little bit about your understanding of that?
So working on this book, I concentrated mostly on what I knew and what I grew up with,
right,
which was northern from Shomal,
yeah,
Gilan province, and Azerbaijan province, where my mother's family
Tabriz
is from.
Being
Tabriz.
Main city there.
And of course, I was born in Tehran, and that's kind of a melting pot.
Which is wonderful, because then you have some of the comfort foods that you and I grew up with.
Yes.
And then some of the international influences, you know, the Napoleon, the rolled thing, which are not classically Iranian, but we all enjoy them living in Tehran.
Well, and speaking of the Napoleon cake and the roulette, mm-hmm, to me, those were the desserts.
That's right.
That I grew up with. And Armenians were particularly good at the Armenian population was known for their bakeries in Iran. Correct me
my
if grand, I'm wrong.
No, my grandfather was one of the bakers. Kafe Naderi was one of the places.
You're kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
So when you said that, you know, I, as a child, I've put a lot of Napoleon in boxes.
Lucky you. It's my favorite cake. I'm not a cake eater, yeah, but for my birthday, I always ask
could devour like two,
for Napoleon.
Of those. Yeah.
So I wanted to share in the dessert section, I wanted to share the desserts that spoke to me,
mm-hmm,
that I grew up with. So I don't have too many of the traditional, which are wonderful, but the traditional cookies and whatnot. It was more of the cakes and the, you know, and ones that I make at home in Los Angeles.
Yeah, and I love
too.
Your recipe of baklava.
Baklava cake.
The Iranian baklava cake, which is very simple, and it's with almond.
So easy.
Easy to make. And
I put my own spin on that
exactly,
a little bit as well.
And that's what I was going to say. You know, the thing that I like about this is that you have some very Iranian dishes that have maintained their integrity, their flavor. And then you have dishes that are prepared by an Iranian woman who has been living outside of Iran for over 30 years. So there will be some changes.
As there should be.
Exactly.
I haven't, as you just mentioned, I haven't lived in Iran for over 30 years. So
right,
I can't speak to what's happening currently there, or this food travels with us, right? So we carry the spices, we pack them up in our suitcases, but it adapts just as we adapted and just as we assimilated and just as we got to know what's available here to us, like what's available to me in Los Angeles at my farmer's market there, or what might be available to you here. I'm a true believer that it's okay for the food to evolve.
And yeah, because the important thing is, you know, about food is that you're making the food. And I know also just from reading about you is that, you know, recipes are guidelines. Feel free to put your
spin on it.
Exactly.
I think in your home kitchen, do what you like and what speaks to you. even I might change. I do change my own recipes from day to day depending on my mood.
Exactly. And availability
and
of
availability.
What you have in
the fridge. So yeah. I'm not going to go, especially in Los Angeles, have to get in the car and drive to get. If I don't have it, I'll make it work. And
exactly.
And that's the spirit of Persian cooking, mm-hmm. I think, too, is use what you have, you know, make do. And, of course, if you're hosting a party or whatnot, then you might want to be a little more. You're going to pay attention.
Yeah, or if you really want a specific flavor, you know, like not many things can be substituted for fenugreek. Or not too many things can be substituted with limo amani, which I'm so happy you give it.
Yes.
Or not many things can be substituted for saffron.
If it's called saffron chicken and there's five ingredients in it, that's what it is. It's saffron chicken.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
Try to make that work. But on the same hand, I think limo amani, you brought that up, which is the Persian dried limes. Such a lovely, distinct flavor.
That's right.
Almost bitter, sour. There's nothing like it. But if you can't find it, let's say you're making khoresh qeyme, the yellow split pea and beef stew with the fries on top, and you don't have limo amani, you're not gonna have that exact flavor of qeyme, but go ahead and use lemon juice.
Exactly. Lemon juice or lime juice, or add a little bit of vinegar.
If you have it, if you can't find the Persian dried limes, these days everything's available online.
That's right.
So
I had to do a cooking class and I was like, oh my goodness, where am I going to buy lavash? Lavash de bread.
Yeah.
I went and I Googled lavash because I didn't have time to go down to the city. And I got lavash from New Jersey.
Well, there you go.
2 days later. So you can get anything. Yes, I mean, I think the beauty of it is that you can alter. But the one of the things that also I think is very distinctly Iranian, and correct me if I'm wrong, is this dance between floral flavors, fruit flavors, and acidity. We love acidity of different types.
We love all things sour.
Yeah.
That's our palate.
Right.
And it's not a sour that's overwhelmingly sour.
Right.
It doesn't make you wince, but it's bright.
That's right. Brightness.
It's bright. And I grew up, my mom would say, bring it to life. Now bring this dish to life. And how do you bring it to life? Is with some type of
dash
acid.
Dash of.
Whatever exactly. It is. Lemon juice. Everyone can find lemon juice. I call lemon juice and lemons the Band-Aid of my kitchen. Pretty much if anything goes wrong, squeeze a little lemon on it and it'll probably fix it.
When I was reading about, I forget which dish you used it in, but verjus, the unripened grape. Unripened grape, and how, for example, at Cerevan I have a grapevine, and some years it produces beautiful, and other years, you know, it just doesn't. This year was horrible. I was able to maybe get like a cup. But to me, you know, there is nothing that substitutes verjus. But and if you see it, you know, you can buy it and freeze it, and that way you have
the sour green grapes themselves.
Exactly.
Yes, the sour green grapes themselves, which are in season like in late May, early June.
Yeah.
But you can also get the juice itself. You can use the verjus.
That's right, and you can buy that.
And
the
you can
French
and you
French
can buy
versions.
That. It's not as it's a mellower, I would say, taste than lemon juice.
That's right.
And again, if you can't, then use lemon juice. But that was another one of my intentions, was to just put these possibly unheard of ingredients out there so that the next time if your eye catches it, you can think back and say, oh, I'll grab it and use it.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the wonderful things about this book that I also really like, because I know I have so many cookbooks, is that your book makes it easy. It's like I want to go into the kitchen and try this, and the photography is beautiful, and for me what excites me about Iranian food, as and we've already discussed, that the various voices of flavors that come together and excite you. And you've put this there, and especially the fresh greens and the fresh vegetables. But while we're on the acidity that we're talking about, you know, the one of the drinks that I wanted to talk about, and I find it so refreshing. And as a kid, I hated it. I know I hated it as a kid. It's kind of strange, but now. I love it. It's shekhanjabin. So tell us about the shekhanjabin.
Shekhanjabin is, we have friends, non-Persian friends, who love this drink. And their kids have dubbed it Persian lemonade. And it is similar in that you use vinegar as your acid, white wine vinegar, and then you sweeten it. You can use sugar or honey. Traditionally, it was honey. Mm-hmm. And you bring this mixture to a boil and then let it simmer till you get a syrup and dilute it with water and either shred some cucumber or slice some cucumber. I throw all sorts of other, you know, fruits in there. And it is so refreshing. It hits just the right spot on those hot summer days. Just think of it as lemonade. It's got the same qualities, but it's just, and it's so unexpected. So when people, you say vinegar and honey, they look at you like you're crazy a little bit, and then they take a sip and their faces just lighten up and brighten up. It's very refreshing, and it supposedly it has medicinal qualities too.
It's
as a lot
digestion.
Of our food does,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Well, you know, one of the things that we haven't spoken about, and sadly we won't have time, you know, this notion of sardio dogi, you know, the cold food and hot food. You don't want to mix, you know, cold with cold. Anytime we sit at a meal, there is a balance of
And this isn't the heat of the food. It's this notion of a particular ingredient is either warming or cooling.
Exactly. Warming to your body or cooling to your body. And I remember once I wasn't feeling very well, and my aunt said, oh, you've eaten too many cold things.
Yes. Yeah, I remember all those.
You've got to give you something warm.
Yeah.
You know?
So, and it worked.
It did. It worked. 100% it did. And I share the experience of your witnessing your friends enjoying the shekhanjabin. I've served it at the restaurant and I've served it in my classes, and people have one and they're like, oh my goodness. With this, you know, I really want to thank you for having made the trek up to Armenia to meet me here. We've known each other online, we've known of each other, to meet you in person, hear you speak and read your book. You know, you're in this book. The person that is here is also in this book, which is really, really wonderful. And I hope that our listeners will take the time to at least look this up, The Bottom of the Pot, a wonderful Persian-Iranian cookbook with a beautiful stories all woven into the recipes that really brings to the home an Iranian family of living in Iran and the Iranian customs and the flavors of Iran.
It's been such a pleasure, Serge. I've been a fan of your work. So
thank you.
This is so thrilling for me to be here with you and to get to know you better. And speaking of our shared experiences and learning from you as well. So
yeah,
thank you.
And we probably both have this very deep craving of going back to Iran one day.
One day.
You know,
one day we'll.
I would love to go to Gilan region.
Oh, me too.
And just learn some of, you know, from one of the older ladies that have been cooking there every day for their families. Mm-hmm. Just spend a day or two with them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That will happen. Thank you very much, everyone, for listening. This is Serge from Saravan Restaurant and Flavor Matters, and we hope that you will join us for our next program.
Flavor Matters is a joint production of the Saravan Restaurant and Robin Hood Radio. For more information on the Saravan Restaurant in Amenia, New York, saravan.com on the web.